Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we get to learn the halachas that relates to Erev Yom Kippur. This is Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph 131 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at a bunch of different concepts that occur. First is Kaporos. So when is Kaporos done? So the minhag is, the practice is to do this on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a time when the divine compassion, Hashem's mercy, is greatest. What kind of animals are done with? So the way it's done is that men take roosters, women take hen. If it's a pregnant woman, so she take a rooster and a hen, just in case it might be a boy. And the one kapora is sufficient for two people. So the preference is to try to get white chickens, but one shouldn't pay extra for them because that it would look like a Amorite custom. And if chickens are unavailable, a goose or even a non-korban species may be used. Some allow you in fish, but not pigeons or dove, which were specifically used for types of karbonos. Many other customs today to do kaporos with money. So what is the actual thing? So one takes the animal, if it's the money, and one takes it in one, their right hand, and recite a paragraph which is found in the Machzor, Bnei Adam, it's a description, it's from a few different psukim in Tehillim that describes the frailty of the human condition. Then they take the chicken or the money and they raise it and they circle it over the head three times, saying, Ze chalifasi ze tumorasi. This is going to be a substitute. This is going to be a redemption upon this chicken, upon this money. And the first one does it for oneself and then for others. And why? And that is the kapara. So what is it meant to achieve? So the Kesser is careful to say this does not actually work as atonement. It is meant to move one to regret and tshuva. So if one does this mindlessly, then it is actually not achieving anything. It has to be done that it's, the person is thinking about what they're doing. What is done afterwards? So shkita should be done promptly. So one should slaughter the chicken. And it's customary, the Kitzur points out, to throw the intestines, the liver, and the kidneys on the roof where the birds can take them. This is to arouse compassion upon us and also to remind us that the birds are taking from something which is not theirs and to remind us how careful one has to be about the money of others. What happens with the chicken afterwards? Some give the chicken to the poor to eat, and some redeem the chickens and then give the money to the poor so that they don't feel that they're taking a chicken which has all these sins upon it. The next concept is the changes in the tefillah. So what prayers are not said on Erev Yom Kippur? So we do not say Mizmor L'Todah in the Pesukah de Zimra or Shachris. The reason for that is because we would not bring a Korban Todah on Erev Yom Kippur because there was not enough time to eat the loaves that accompany that bread. And similarly, we do not say Tachanun or Lamanatzeach in the end of Shachris, and that's because these are harsh prayers and it's actually a festive day. Do we say Avinu Malkeinu? Like the Arisa says, the answer is no, unless Yom Kippur is on a Shabbos. In that case, Avinu Malkeinu is said at Shachris on Erev Yom Kippur. We move to the next concept, that is eating. What is the mitzvah to eat and drink on Erev Yom Kippur? So it's a mitzvah to eat and drink abundantly the whole day. Why is that? The Gemara in Yoma, Daf, and Peibes, Amud Beis tells us that when the Pasuk says, in Yisem Esnaf Shoz Zechem B'Tishah, when you shall afflict yourselves on the ninth, it doesn't mean that you're fasting on the ninth because people are not fasting for 2 days. But the Torah considers it as that if a person will eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's like they are, they have been fasting on Erev Yom Kippur as well as Yom Kippur itself. What is the reward for doing so? So one who eats and drinks for the sake of the mitzvah is considered as if they fasted that day as well. Are there any specific ingredients that are necessary? So the Kesser records that there is a custom to eat fish at the first meal. We move to the next concept, that is asking for forgiveness. So how must we repair one's sins on Erev Yom Kippur? So if it's something which has been Adam Lamakom, it is between one and Hashem, they must do vidu for it in front of Hashem and express the correct regret and change their course of action. But if it's for a sin which relates to another person, an interpersonal sin, then it's not enough to speak to God about that. One needs to speak to the other person, placate them, appease them before one goes to do vidu as well. What happens if it isn't clear if I'm in the wrong party? So then, if its ownership is uncertain, then one needs to arrange to appear before a Beis Din, and before and if that can't be done before Yom Kippur, to arrange that it's done after Yom Kippur and then accept the ruling. What if no monetary harm was inflicted? I just insulted somebody. So even verbal harm requires appeasement, and preferably in person. If that's not possible, if the person's going to get so angry, one can send an intermediary to present this as well. How should the victim respond? So if it's a sincere apology which is being offered, the offended party should forgive wholeheartedly, and it's considered cruel if a person is not willing to release as well. What happens if it was a really big deal? So even if one was really greatly wounded, one should not take revenge or bear a grudge. If the offender doesn't come, you can present yourself to allow them to ask for forgiveness as well. Why is it so bad to hold a grudge? So harboring hatred in Yom Kippur blocks one's tefillah, one's prayer. Being forgiving allows that a person allows the channels to be open for their own forgiveness in front of Hashem as well. And the Kisser does make reference that it is not a Jewish characteristic to hold on to harbor anger. And he points out that it's by Esav it describes Erosoi Shamro Lanetzach, that when Esav kept his anger forever, and that is not a Jewish trait. And certainly by the Givonim, by Shaul HaMelech, they harbored this terrible animosity, which led to the giving over the children of Shaul, which is a terrible thing, because they were not B'nai Yisrael Hema, the Tanakh tells us. They did not act like Jews should. They were not Jews, which is why they kept this animosity. What if the victim already passed away? So in that case, the offender has a responsibility to take 10 men, go to the grave, and ask for forgiveness, and then the people, the minion, will say you are forgiven three times at the graveyard at the grave of the offended, and the offender has to walk barefoot and specifies a sin unless it's humiliating to the deceased. You can imagine this is a very difficult process to do in front of 10 people, and so it's a hard process. What if the grave is far away? So in that case, one can send a representative of 10 men to declare forgiveness on the offender's behalf. What happens if I insulted the dead or defamed the dead when they already were dead? So for insults, one may ask for forgiveness, but one does not need to go to the grave. One can ask for the place that one actually said it. But for a person who defames the dead, then one needs to also do tshuva on violating the Chazal made a ban on slandering the dead, on talking negatively about the dead, and that one needs to also do tshuva on that, on transgressing that. We move to the next concept, and that is the mikveh. So there's a minhag on Erev Yom Kippur to go to the mikveh. Who goes on Erev Yom Kippur? So the minhag is all men and even boys. The Kisser records a description that even young women would go as well. This seems to be less the custom today. Why is this done? So it's to purify from men, specifically from nocturnal emissions, from keri. And also it's an act of repentance to show sort of that a person is like a convert. They are transforming themselves by this process, almost being reborn, going into the womb again and emerging as a new person. When is the best to immerse? It's best to do it after midday. May a mourner, may an avel immerse? The answer is yes, but they should do it within an hour or two of nightfall, and they must observe the other restrictions until night. What must be one be careful of? So one must be careful when going to the mikveh that there's no chatzitzas. A person needs to shower beforehand, cut one's nails, make sure that there's no interruptions between oneself and the water. We move to this next concept, the sixth concept, where that is the candles. So what candles are prepared? So each home should have a candle lit for the house. There's an Eir Neshama, which is a Yahrzeit candle for one's parents, and a candle in the home lasting through Yom Kippur, which will be used for Avdalah. And there's also one should bring one to the shul. Why is this done? So on Yom Kippur, Moshe brought the Torah down from Har Sinai. The Torah is called a Ner, the light of Israel, and therefore this is the custom to light in the home and in the shul. Obviously, there's restrictions. One cannot use wax from problematic sources like idolatry usage. But how does one avoid the worry about if a candle gets extinguished? So people bring their candles to shul, and if their candle went out, they felt that it would be a bad year. So the Kisser says not to worry about it. So now don't get caught up in that. But he says to avoid that worry, the minhag was to give it to the shamash, to give it to the gabai, who would place the candles anonymously so people wouldn't know if one of them went out, whose it was. When should the candles be brought to shul? So at mincha time, it's lit before twilight. Today, we don't, with electricity, it's less of a concern. People usually just light lights. as well, and obviously paying the shul to enable those lights is very significant in general. We now move to the next concept, which is mincha. So what clothing is worn to a mincha? So one should wear Shabbos clothes, and this mincha is usually done before the Seder Ma'asekas. So one wears on Shabbos clothes. When is video said in the mincha Shmona Esrei? It's only said in the silent Shmona Esrei at the end of Shmona Esrei after the Yehi L'Ratzon, before Elokai Netzar, and it's said only in the silent Shmona Esrei, not in the repetition. Why is it said early if it's not Yom Kippur yet? There's a concern that if a person may eat and God forbid a choke at the meal, they won't have a chance to do video on Yom Kippur. So even to that degree, we realize the frailty of the human condition and do it so early. What is the text for the video? So we begin with Elokai Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Tavolof Onecha Tefilaseinu. The whole text of the video we do it in alphabetical order. We are Shamna Bogadnu, and then we do the Alchets, which also go in a double L acrostic of the alphabet. May one answer Kedusha during Vidur? So let's say the Baal Tefillah goes into the repetition of the Shmona Esrei, and you're still in Vidur. The answer is yes. Once you say the first Yehi L'Ratzon, you are done the Shmona Esrei in order to be able to answer. What postures and motions are used during Vidur? So one stands bowed slightly like in Moedim, and one beats the heart with each sin. Almost like one trying to show oneself, to remind oneself that one is responsible. Should personal sins not in the text be confessed? So let's say what you're concerned about is not actually explicit. The answer is absolutely. You should do so quietly and sincerely and cry while thinking about these things. Should previously confessed sins of previous years be mentioned? So the Kitzur says yes. It is eschatasi lefonai tamid. My sin is in front of me all times from Tehillim. But the Mishnah Berurah says this is only relating to sins which are both against Hashem and man, like theft. But not all sins need to be repeated if they have now been fixed. Is Avin Malkeinu set out to Mincha? The answer is no, even if you're in the next day is Shabbos. What is the custom about lashes? So there is an interesting custom which is not so common today, which is what's called ceremonial lashes, where a person would take a calf leather strap and ask another person to ceremonially take and give these lashes to them, 39 of them, while reciting the pasuk Yirachom Yachaper Avon, which is 13 words long, three times, which gives us 39 lashes, 39 words. And obviously, there's not real beatings, but it's to remind oneself of the averos, the transgressions, or one may have transgressed, which would have warranted that in times of the Beis Hamikdash. We now move to the eighth concept, and that is the Suras Mafsekes, the breaking meal, which is just before the fast. So what foods are customary? So one dips one's challah in honey, like one does during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, and eats easily digestible foods. Generally speaking, one has poultry, and the custom is not to eat fish. What foods also should be avoided? So one should avoid spicy or foods or saffron, foods which raise body heat, which will make one sleepy, or men more likely to have nocturnal emissions. When should the meal end? So it should end well before sunset, and one should make sure, he describes that many people try it an hour before sunset. There's a mitzvah of what's called Tosefes Yom Kippurim, adding to Yom Kippur, and this is a mitzvah midaraisa. It's very important to be able to achieve this. If one finishes early but plans to eat again afterwards, what should one do? So one should articulate explicitly, verbally, that before saying the Birkas HaMazon, I'm not taking on the fast by benching. Finally, last concept for today, and that is getting ready for Yom Kippur. Another concept, and so a few questions. May food be prepared Erev Yom Kippur for after the fast? The custom is not to. One should not be matmin, wrapping up foods to get warm, because it looks like it's preparing for a chol, for a weekday, and also it looks like one is being gluttonous. How is Yom Kippur honored in clothing and light? So we wear clean clothes. Candles are brought to the shul in the home. There's new tablecloths are placed on the table, like fresh tablecloths, and many other customs to put a light in their bedroom, which is so the couples will avoid having intimate relations, which is forbidden on Yom Kippur. And when saying lighting the candles, the one says the Hadlik Ner Shel Yom Kippurim, and if it's our Shabbos as well, it's Shel Shabbos V'Yom Kippurim, V'Yom Kippur. What clothing is customary for men and women? So men wear a white kittel, which is like the shrouds, and when women we usually wear clean white clothing, but no jewelry, because it's day of awe and judgment. Can an avel wear a kittel during their year of avelos? The answer is yes. Can a kittel be worn to the bathroom? The answer is no. It must be taken off because it's a garment set aside for prayer. What blessings do parents give their children? So before shul, parents give a special bracha like they would on a Friday night with additional prayers where they pray that their children will have fear of Torah and mitzvahs, righteous children, livelihood, inscription in the book of life. And some try to even get brachas from great sages and great tzaddikim to receive this bracha on every Yom Kippur. Is there a fixed text? And the answer is yes, there is a very beautiful text, which is found in the Machzorim at the very beginning. And it's very, very beautiful. Hashita in Belibcha Avos of Yirasai, Hashem should place in your heart his love and his fear. Ta'iriyas Hashem aponecha, koi mechayecha, shaliecha techta. Hashem's fear should be on your face all your life, that you're in sin, etc. It's found in the Machzorim. It's a very beautiful prayer, very emotional prayer that parents and grandparents give their children on a Erev Yom Kippur. Of course, they are able to add on with their own words what they know specifically are the needs of their children as well. Finally, what is the custom of putting on the talis? So for men, they try to put on the talis before it becomes sunset in order to be able to say the bracha. If they did it after sunset, they all put it on without a bracha. With this, we conclude, and we're going to move into the halachos of Yom Kippur itself. Have a wonderful meeting.